Right now, they're trending towards a team no one wants to watch at the end of the year.
That's for sure.
No one wants to play.
Teams for sure do want to play them
right
now. Yeah,
they're very much licking their chops wanting to play the
Jaguars
Patriots right
coach
now.
Saved his job playing against the Patriots 2 weeks ago.
It's true.
Still employed because of the Patriots.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. I think from listening to Mayo there, I think it's pretty clear if Drake May is cleared from the concussion protocol, and he's in stage three.
Yep.
He didn't say it directly there, but reading between the lines on the update from Jerod Mayo, he's in stage three of the concussion protocol. He's going to be out there for 30 minutes today throwing the football, limited participant, but he will be doing football-only exercises stage three. There are five stages in concussion protocol. I'd still say it's unlikely he plays, but listening to Mayo, it's pretty clear.
There are people a lot smarter than me.
No way!
No, not you.
No!
No!
Don't beat yourself up like that. I can't think of any.
Then the guy who has to correct himself every other time he speaks?
All the time.
But I think it's pretty clear listening to him. If May clears concussion protocol, he's going to be out there this weekend.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that the right move? And we'll open it up on the phone line, 617-779-7937. Where are the don't break Drake people? Because I imagine they have a problem with that. You don't want to be reckless.
Well, they didn't want to play him anyway, so I'm sure they want to still sit him.
That's a good point. But, like, you don't want to be reckless with your franchise quarterback. I get that. You don't want to unnecessarily put him in harm's way. I think if the league says he's cleared, I'd play him. I'd have no problem with that. But I am curious to hear from the people on that because I think it's pretty clear. If he's cleared, he's going to play.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. He's obviously claims to have confidence in Jacoby Brissett and kind of points out how he went
in
there
last week.
He's got it all covered. But also, real quick, because there's been so much Mayo v. Belichick and the discussion has lasted ever since they made that switch. This is kind of what I was talking about when I was saying, I'll take a coach who talks. Why not? The secret stuff, like, it's not that secretive. This is the example.
Yeah.
Some of the other things, and Mayo does himself a disservice when he says one thing and then the next day changes it. But this is the perfect example. If this happened under Bill Belichick, he wouldn't have mentioned Drake May at all.
No,
would have asked him.
He'd joke about, I think our practice report comes out later today. You'll see it there.
100%. You know, like, he would have snorted into the mic and be like, hey, I'll make sure you get a copy. Yeah. And then he would have laughed on the inside and been like, I really smoked them.
Yeah.
And then, like, Ian Rappaport would tweet out, like, Drake May was like, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But Mayo does that.
With the injury report today.
Yeah, Stacey, what time's the injury report today? 4:00, you'll get it then. That's what he would have done.
Like, which makes no sense. I'm only talking about this. I'm not talking about who's a better coach. I'm just talking about this part of it where everyone's like,
Mayo's a better coach than Belichick.
You gotta just clear that up.
Yeah.
No, but like, this is one where that wasn't a big advantage for Bill to do that. It really wasn't. There's no harm in doing this. We still don't even know if he's going to play. The Titans don't know if he's going to play. Nobody knows if he's going to play.
We just know he's in stage three.
Yeah.
That's all we know.
And you just sort of get in front of it. Otherwise, it would have been the first four questions. So you just sort of answer it this way, and then you kind of move on about the press conference. So that specifically, I think, is a better – I prefer this than what it was for 20 years in that aspect. But, yeah, it's Wednesday, the third level of that to clear the protocol out of five. So can he – but I would imagine if he's not – close to a full participant I don't think he's playing.
I don't think he's playing. Like, if you're knowing that he's in stage three, which is probably further along than I would have guessed, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
I don't know where you typically start on a Wednesday when you're in concussion protocol. And a quarterback, and I think we need to keep mentioning this, a quarterback is very different than a receiver or a D-tackle or someone like that. There's way more on their plate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, in terms of game preparation and just, you know, mentally what's on their plate, what's asked of them, there's way more there. So it's not like every other position. There's a reason fewer quarterbacks clear concussion protocol than other positions in a week. And even by and large, most players, you suffer a concussion on a Sunday, most of the time you miss the following week, regardless of position. So I don't care that he's in stage three. That's promising. If I had to guess, he's not going to play. But I'll tell you, if he clears protocol, I would play him.
Like, yeah, I would
there's
too.
There's no reason to keep playing Jacoby Brissett. I'm fearful they will because they won last week, and if they win again against Tennessee, maybe they go, hey,
yeah,
we got a rousing win, according to Josina Anderson, over the Jets. They're looking to add the trade deadline. Maybe they really think they're onto something, or they think they need to win X amount of games to save jobs or turn the heat down or whatever, and they lean in on Brissett. I'm fearful of that. But I wouldn't do that. The second May is cleared. He's back out there. He's my quarterback.
I want to play him as much as I can. Now, I guess flip side would be, and I don't know if you think this is hypocritical, if it was a different type of injury, I might say, all right, give it time. If it's sort of like a pain tolerance thing or it's like his hamstring's feeling better, like good enough to play. It's like, well, good enough to play. Like, it's already a season where the wins and losses don't really matter. It's about his development, and part of that development is him being able to be on the field. Like, the worst thing in the world would be you put him out there and then he re-aggravates that injury, or, you know, suffers another injury, you know, like Kevin Durant years ago. I was like, oh, that hurts. And now the Achilles is gone.
Right.
Like, that's different. The concussion protocol, like, to Mayo's point about, like, let the doctors figure that out. If he's cleared, he's cleared. You know, unfortunately, a lot of these players have had concussions and had them in high school and college probably. And when they're cleared, they can come back and play, and you go from there. So I also would play him with this. I'd be more cautious if it was something else, though, to the point where you're like, all right, I don't want to get the guy. He doesn't have to go, like, tape it up and get out there because you're a football player. It's like, well, this is also a rebuilding year, and he's the most valuable piece on the whole franchise.
So is there an element of saving him from himself? And, you know, we saw it in the first game against Houston, gets absolutely blown up on a sack, falls on his throwing shoulder. Landed on the player landed on his throwing shoulder. He landed on the turf on his non-throwing shoulder. And you have him showing up with maybe an MRI, maybe not, but showing up on the injury report the following week with a knee injury. And now you have a concussion. Is there an element to what Mayo said on Monday on the Greg Hill show? He's got to take better care of himself, and saving him from himself. Is that a factor anywhere in their thought process this week against Tennessee? It sounds like to me with Jerod Mayo, I would have thought maybe before listening to him today, but it sounds like they'll roll him right back out
there. Yeah, I don't think so. It shouldn't be. He hasn't played recklessly, right? Like the biggest hit that he took.
I thought the Houston game was a little reckless, but it was his first start.
I think
the last 2 weeks he hasn't been reckless at all. I didn't even get what Mayo was talking about.
But I also think the biggest hit that he took, I wouldn't really put on him. Like, that's sort of football. Whereas like this last game,
The one where he got the strip sack?
Yeah, no, yes. You put that on him?
A little bit.
He's held on to too long.
Well, you have to be aware of a pass rush. I mean, that's part of playing quarterback.
I guess. I just feel like the other ones, he seems to have done everything kind of by the book. You know, the best way to both utilize your legs, but do it in a way in which you're not going to get killed and take a bunch of hits. Nobody's going to be able to take a bunch of hits, you know, even if you're built like a running back. That's why those guys end so their careers are so short. So I think he did a pretty good job. And I also think that's something that he's going to gain by playing. Like, the more he does it, the more he's going to be able to take care of himself.
So right now he's in stage 3 of concussion protocol. Stage 4 would be club-based non-contact drills.
Which I feel like during the week is probably pretty close to all of it.
That's what I would think.
Most of it's non-contact,
right? How much
are
they strapping on the pads and hitting each other?
Yeah, I can't imagine there's a big difference between 4 and 5, at least during the week. I guess like what you're cleared for is one thing, but like I don't think you're getting smacked around.
5 is full football activity / clearance by an independent doctor. So he's not fully cleared by an independent doctor. He's not taking contact. He's not even to non-contact. He's doing football-specific exercises like throwing a football for 30 minutes today. Again, my guess is he doesn't play. The don't break Drake people, I imagine you don't want him out there. And maybe some of you are on Mayo's side of the street where he doesn't know how to protect himself. He needs to be better at protecting himself. So you can jump in on all of that. I do hope for the Patriots' sake he's out there this weekend, because there's a reason they're not favored. There's a reason they're 3-point dogs in Nashville. And I think it's because Vegas knows it's probably going to be Brissett this weekend, and if Mayo wants to pay off on the 5 wins, I'd feel a lot better beating Tennessee with Drake May out there.
Well, think about how you felt about the games that Drake May was starting and like going into those weeks and then seeing some of the flashes. Now, it wasn't the most consistent thing in the world, and obviously you wanted more points, but it was still a way more entertaining style of play. The offensive line, I don't think it's a coincidence, played a lot better the last couple of weeks than they did prior to that. And you can say, well, they've had all these different alignments. True, but they also had David Andrews early in the season. Like, the names that are out there shouldn't necessarily be like, yeah, they're locked in.
No.
Like, no, I think Drake May helps a lot of that. Maybe Van Pelt's gotten a little bit more comfortable on with what he can call and what he can't call. Like, I'll give him credit for that.
I think he just hurts you less, Van Pelt, when you have a quarterback who can freelance like May.
Right.
You know, Brissett can't do much outside of structure. May can, and that makes Van Pelt look a little better.
The Drake May touchdown run, which led to the Van Pelt-Mayo awkward handshake and whatever thing they did, doesn't happen with Brissett.
No, the Tyquan Thornton play down the field doesn't happen either, where he's rolling out and killing. You know, like, I mean, Thornton doesn't make the catch.
No.
But, like, that's not how they drew it up. That's May making a play. Or nearly making a play if his receiver could catch.
Thornton's like, I wasn't ready for that. That wasn't the play call.
I've been used to Jacoby Brissett all year. I didn't even know he could throw it
this
far.
I'm just running off my corner over here. That's what I do.
617-779-7937. How concerned should we be about Drake May and the Patriots if May can't get out there this week? Does he need to do better at protecting himself? And would you play him if he's cleared independently by an independent doctor, if he's cleared, would you play him? Again, 617-779-7937. We'll get back into the trade deadline. Mayo also talked about that today. Burt Breer had an update. Josina Anderson has the Patriots buying after a rousing quote-unquote win over the New York Jets. Should the Patriots add? We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy Laney. Gerard Mayo discussing the trade deadline earlier today. Pats dealt off Joshua Uche to the Kansas City Chiefs for a future, not next year.
Sixth-round
pick.
Yeah.
Well, they got Tom Brady in the sixth round, Jones.
That's fair point, Keith.
So that's a good value.
2 years you can have Tom Brady
yep.
in the sixth round. That'd be pretty good. I'd sign up for that.
Yep.
It's not a bad little move.
Antonio Brown, sixth rounder.
Yeah.
Terrell Davis, sixth rounder.
Nice.
They're out there.
You just got to wait till 2026. And
cases, you're not this year's pick.
Some cases, some development on top of that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get Tom Brady year one. He kind of has to sit another year. So you're three years away from Brady in the sixth round when you draft him in 2026.
It's all right.
That's not bad, though.
No.
That's something.
No.
So we had kind of wrapped our heads around the idea of the Patriots selling, and we had highlighted the names. Obviously, Uche was one. He's now gone. K.J. Osborne and Kendrick Bourne in the receiver room. Probably not in that order. I'd move Bourne first because I think you'd get something for him. Osborne, I just cut. I don't need to trade him, but whatever. No. Devon Godchow at the Yankee game last night.
Taking it in?
Patriots feel ready to work this week, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Mayo gave him a victory Monday, and Devon Godchow jet sets to New York to go watch the Yankees in the World Series.
He wasn't the one grabbing Mookie Betts by the wrist.
No.
That wasn't him.
No, that turns out it was Rob Gronkowski's college buddy.
Turns out.
Yeah.
Small world.
It really is.
Yeah.
I think we'll have more of that coming up in the grab bag. But they don't exactly feel ready to work this week in a very winnable game against Tennessee. Josina Anderson, one of the best follows on Twitter.
For some. I know that she has told
those
you cannot.
For those of you who are not blocked. But don't worry. I get the scoops no matter what.
Yeah. People, there's a workaround.
Lots of accounts out there that will let me know about what she's saying, including Savage Sports. Good follow. I'm told the Patriots are monitoring the trade market to potentially add talent at wide receiver, D-tackle, or tackle on the heels of a rousing 25-22 win over the New York Jets, per source. I've been saying for a while, Keith, I want them to add, but it's not for this year.
I don't really get that. And I think she's pretty good as far as like her sources coming out to being true. Like,
well, you can follow her tweets. I can't.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'll take your
stuff.
Word for it. Yeah.
But like Diana Rossini, and not to, you know, catch a stray here, Diana, but like she's wrong all the time. So like she would have something like that, and you're like, all right, whatever. But like Josina Anderson, I feel like
good
does talk to
there.
A lot of players and whatever, and stuff usually comes to be true. But that makes no sense. You're 2-6. And you're going to trade for...
Well, it does make sense if people are worried about their jobs.
Yeah, but
if Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo are worried about their jobs, it does make sense.
But like, all right, so now you're going to trade for some tackles? Like, where have you been? Get some tackles. You need tackles. You need tackles all year. You need D tackles?
You needed to beat the Jets to
but
know
also,
you needed
like,
a tackle?
They might trade Kendrick Bourne and K.J. Osborne, but bring in a veteran receiver, and then they might trade Devon Godchow, but bring in a D-tackle. Like, what are we doing? How does all that make sense?
Well, the Godchow one makes less sense. The receivers make sense.
I guess who it is. It comes down to that.
I mean, the one that Breer floated, we played you the clip earlier today, but the one Breer floated on TV last night was you send out Tyquan Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
Teams supposedly have some interest because he's fast. I don't know what else
fast.
He knows he can't catch.
Yeah, knock it off with that. You shouldn't be interested in him.
But he's fast, but okay. His idea was you give Carolina Tyquan Thornton, you get Adam Thielen. Like, I guess I like that trade. I don't know that I like the logic behind it, though. Like, whatever. Tyquan Thornton, Thielen can play, Thornton can't. I guess I like that. But the idea is to get adults in the room, and the idea is to try to get some wins this year. Neither of those are the reasons I'm making a trade. I'm getting a receiver now. And maybe Thielen's that guy.
Yeah.
I'm getting a receiver now to grow with Drake May so that next year you have pieces already in place. That's why I'm making moves.
So, like, I was.
You want to get faster? You better get faster.
Oh,
guys.
You'll get faster.
So,
with him.
I was interested in, like, Cooper Kupp because I think he is, like, next level.
Yep.
And I was interested in Brandon Ayuk.
Deontay Johnson?
Maybe.
Johnson is not an adult in the room.
No.
He's actually a massive problem in the room, but he's good.
So I guess
he's good.
Well, all right. So I guess the question is, have you already given up on Polk, Pop, and Booty? And the reason I say that is if you bring in somebody better than those guys, you slide them down the roster, less targets, less playing time,
all
that stuff.
Have I given up on them? No, but if I can get real receivers, those guys are not preventing me from getting a real receiver.
I just don't think there's a real receiver that you're going to get right now. I don't think...
Okay, well, they could have had Deontay Johnson. He went
for
nothing.
I guess that's the debate. That was, like, is he a real receiver? Like, I don't know. I mean, they weren't interested in the offseason. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to trade for him?
Well, just because they weren't interested doesn't
mean
anything to me. Yeah.
Maybe they should have.
I mean, they're not interested in anyone.
But, like, is he a clear-cut guy? I mean, I feel like they have these young receivers on the team. Don't you want to see what you have in them first?
Yeah, but not...
You've already gone 8 games into the season. You didn't get Calvin Ridley. You didn't get Brandon Ayuk. You sat on the sidelines for Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams, and then now you're going to get, like, Adam Thielen?
Okay, so Thielen feels like a weird one to me.
Okay.
That might be my line where I go, all right, is that really a guy who you need to have above the pecking order for those young players?
But he's different than Johnson in the sense that don't you kind of want to put out the fire of all these morons going on Instagram all the time and complaining about stuff, and then you throw Deontay Johnson in the mix?
Right.
You just kind of want to watch that thing explode.
Okay, well, but no, here's the difference. Deontay Johnson can play. I know
he's
Deontay Johnson
good.
Can
yeah.
play.
Yeah,
I have no idea if these schmucks in the receiver room can play.
No, I guess not.
I don't know. I know they all have big mouths.
But that should be the goal this season, is to figure that out.
Yeah,
not that they're going to like light up the scoreboard, but like figure out what you have in them. Like they should have cut ties with Tyquan Thornton a long time ago.
So you don't want any additions. You don't really like
no,
an addition.
No, well, like I'm both like Cooper Kupp I would have taken, but like I don't think he wants to be here and like all that. And now LA looks like they're going to be fine. I think I have to go case by case because there were certain guys that I was like, that makes sense. Even like Amari Cooper, I was like, maybe not, maybe not. Like Devontae Adams, yeah, like, and I know he hasn't looked great in his.
No, he just looked pretty bad.
Going with the Jets.
Our guy Gonzo shut him down.
But like Hopkins, 2 years ago, I absolutely wanted Hopkins. Now he gets traded. I'm like, yeah, somebody else can have
so
him.
So the way to think about it is, who would help Drake May? Is Adam Thielen a long-term fit and help for Drake May? I like Adam Thielen. Is he a long-term help for Drake May?
He's not a long-term help, no. Is he a little bit of a...
He was pretty good.
Present?
In his defense, he was pretty good last year with a terrible quarterback in Bryce Young.
He's old.
He is old.
He's an old dude. Like I thought
and
he was...
And he's coming off a hamstring injury. I don't believe he's played since he got the hamstring injury.
He did help us win the Bozo TD parlay.
He did. Maybe that's why I have a soft spot for him.
That's definitely what it is.
Keith, last year at age 33, he's not young, he had 103 catches for 1,000 yards with Bryce Young.
So like, no, he had a good year.
So
no doubt.
Is that the kind, and you're giving up Thornton.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of guy who could help Drake May? Like, if the answer is yes, then I want him.
Yeah, but is he hurt right now?
I believe he's in his practice.
They opened his practice window.
Thank you. He's in his practice window to come
back. Yeah. He's coming off IR at 34 years old. I think does he help the room? Do those guys look at him? Like, that's the other thing that I think is easier said than done. Like, just because you bring in a professional. We all think Kendrick Bourne's a professional.
Yep.
But that hasn't stopped Polk and Booty and Thornton and all those guys from saying stuff.
Not one bit.
So I don't even know if Thielen does that. No, I think for me, he's the kind of guy that I would just say, let's play Polk into the ground. And then, like, let's see what, like, when he comes back, I was all for sitting him for a week, right? You drop it, you're saying all this stuff, best hands in the league, take a break. You're going to sit and watch. But you're the second round pick. Like, we need to see what we have in Jalen Polk before we get more snaps for somebody like Adam Thielen. That's how I look at it.
I understand that. I just think if you think Thielen's the kind of guy, or Deontay Johnson would have been the guy, or who are some of the other names? I had surmised Pickens. I think Pittsburgh's been too good the last couple of weeks. Pickens is off the table.
He's pretty sweet.
Twitch chat just threw out Jordan Addison in Minnesota. Did you see his tweet this week?
Oh, yeah. He wants out or something.
Free three? Yeah, I think he's number three. He tweeted out free three.
Free three.
Yeah, like free me from Minnesota.
They asked him about it. He's like, oh, it's something I've been doing since 2020.
Yeah, right. Oh, no, it's just something I do. Free my number. That's just something I do.
I'd take Jordan Addison.
Me too. But the idea of getting it, I'm with you, Keith, right now. Looking at the roster right now, and you're not going to add. Okay. Subtract Tyquan Thornton and KJ Osborne and even Kendrick Bourne and free it up for the young players.
See you later.
But I'm not doing that at the expense of getting a guy I think can grow with Drake May. So if Adam Thielen is that guy, I don't know how much growing he's going to do at age 34.
Yeah, he's grown. He's full grown.
Soon to be 35. He's a full grown man.
Yeah.
He's pushing retirement.
Uh-huh.
So if you think it's Jordan Addison, if you thought it would have been Deontay Johnson, I'm on board with that move. But I'm not making the move to try to scratch out a few more wins this year. I'm not making the move to get adults in the room. I'm making a move so that I have a piece to grow with Drake May. That's why.
Better chance of helping the receiving core for the future, a deal in the next week or full court press on like T. Higgins in the offseason?
The second thing.
Yeah, so do I think that too. I think now the problem is the track record is poor when it comes to that. Guys they've identified.
They're not good at it.
They've missed everybody they've identified.
It's
then there's
true.
Other guys that you wish they would take a look at, and they didn't. So just add it all together. They have whiffed on receivers.
But you agree. I think we agree on this, and we both shifted. the bigger need right now, and that doesn't mean that's what you use your draft pick on in the first round, but the bigger need for this team, big picture, is a wide receiver over a tackle.
Yeah, I feel like unless you have Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, it's hard to slap together a receiver group. Like, you need, like, a stud receiver, even the really good quarterback. I mean, hell, even Mahomes early had Tyreek Hill and then Travis Kelce and all that other stuff, but I just feel like the offensive line. Now, the first few weeks of the season, my point of you can just kind of get a group of five and be like decent and like coach them up and be decent enough, it wasn't going great.
No.
But the last few weeks, you're like, okay, yeah, maybe. Maybe I kind of see it now. And you're still allowed to invest. You're still allowed to use high draft picks on linemen. Like, go ahead and do that if you need to in the offseason. But if it's just a one or one, like on a would you rather Wednesday, like, yeah, give me the number one wide receiver over the, you know, number one tackle right
now. So that's how I feel, too. And again, you can invest differently. You can do it in free agency. You can do it via trade right now, leading up to the trade deadline. You could do it in the draft.
But that was the plan last year that many of us had, was draft a quarterback and receiver in the draft, and then...
Which they did.
Yes.
They just maybe didn't
get a very good one. Well, the receiver might suck, yeah. but whatever. Like, they, at the time when that happened...
I like that plan.
But the plan also involved...
Doing other things
agent,
in free agency.
Signing at
right.
left tackle, maybe a trade. But
mix
like,
in an offensive lineman.
Yeah, then they're like, well, we got Chukwuma Okorafor.
Mix
like,
in
no,
another receiver.
I don't want that guy.
Like, don't just draft the quarterback and the receiver. Yeah, you got to do more.
That was the problem in the plan. It's like you didn't complete the plan, and then you were shocked when the offensive line was in shambles.
The story going on from afar, and it relates to Drake May, is the Anthony Richardson crowd, where you played him too early, he wasn't developed enough, you rushed him out there, and now the Indianapolis Colts have gone away from Anthony Richardson. And
might
it
be
sounds
more
like,
going on there.
It sounds like it's for good, right?
The guy tapped out of the game.
Okay, it sounds like it's Flacco for good, right?
Well, that's what Steichen said today.
Yeah.
That he's like, this isn't like an experiment, he's the starter going
and you
forward.
You don't do that unless you're done with Richardson, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I liked Richardson more than most. I really liked him in that draft. I was high on him this offseason. And so I think accuracy is overrated, but there is a line.
But
you
it's
have
also,
to be able to complete some passes, and yeah. He's below that line. And so I'd rather have a playmaker. He's not making enough plays, and he's not completing any passes. And I think once you move on from Richardson, really for a second time, I don't think you can go back to him. I think he's done. So I
but
now
what if you have him under contract and Flacco gets the team to the playoffs or they're at least competitive and then Flacco retires? You don't think you could play him next year?
I think next year you're bringing in another quarterback.
Yeah.
It might not be Flacco, obviously, but you're like, bringing in another quarterback.
But that's your call. It's not Richardson's not going to be like, well, I'm not going to play here anymore. Like,
no,
it's bad. Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think the team's done with him is now
yeah,
what
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And so the Panthers are done with Bryce Young. The Colts are now done with Anthony Richardson. Those are quarterbacks that are rushed out there, quote unquote. And I'm still firmly on the, you play them, you find out what you have, and it's better to know early than not know, and string it along and have no idea. But while we've seen with Drake May this play out in real time, I think he could have played week one, and I think it would be fine. Are these guys cautionary tales for playing your rookies too early, and a strike against Drake May, or was it just a bad quarterback class?
I look at it more as that's a strike against those guys individually and those franchises for drafting them. Bryce Young was the wrong pick. I don't think it's revisionist history. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, most people thought C.J. Stroud, at least not those two teams, I guess, at the top, but I don't think Bryce Young was this great prospect. I was shocked that he was the number one overall pick. Anthony Richardson, you knew, was a big-time project. That was an overdraft at the time. And tremendous upside, like, could be good, but he was the biggest boom bust candidate in the draft.
I like rolling the dice on a player like that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
but there's two outcomes. One of them is bust.
Yeah, and
feels, that's what it looks like.
He's a bust.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. But I mean, we play this game all the time. You can also take all the guys that played right away and were good and are still good and are playing. So that's what you have to hope. Like, it is realistic that. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May could all be good.
Yeah.
Like Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and Justin Herbert. Same, like three first quarterbacks. They could all be good.
I don't think it's just realistic. I think that's what's going to happen.
I think we're seeing it right now.
You happen, and somewhat you're lucky.
Yeah.
But I think you happen to take the quarterback in the right year to take a quarterback, and the Colts and the Panthers were not so lucky.
That's why, and I get involved in this too, like just comparing quarterback draft classes and things like that. But the reality is, these guys, you need to just examine the quarterback, like the player that you are taking. Like with Bryce Young, like what were the red flags? Anthony Richardson, what were the red flags? Like that prospect, not other quarterbacks who went one or other quarterbacks who went four. That, I mean, you're talking about the guy that
Bryce Young
be on your
was
team.
Size.
Yeah, Bryce Young was definitely size.
And Anthony Richardson
played like five games and
accuracy
was like,
and accuracy, experience.
The whole thing. It was like more athlete than anything else. And then like with Drake May, like that was a good prospect. Like, you looked up and down. You're like, all right, that's good. Now, you obviously want to have the best fit possible for all those guys. But they all come into the league, different coordinators, different teammates, and all that other stuff. But it just felt like Drake May had more of a opportunity to succeed than those other guys. And he's stepping into the worst team imaginable for a rookie quarterback.
Well,
and he's looking the way that he is.
That is the other thing. Like, Dalton gets in, and Carolina looks functional on offense. Not great, but functional.
Dude, Dalton's another example of a guy who started his rookie year for Cincinnati, who was a joke then.
But I'm saying, part of what exposes Bryce Young.
Is that you see the difference.
An actual functional quarterback gets in there and the offense looks functional. Same thing with Flacco in Indianapolis. The Patriots are the other way around.
Yeah,
they were playing the veteran and the offense looks better with the rookie quarterback, which is a big thing going on.
That's a good test. I mean, not all teams have had, been able to do that, like play two quarterbacks and be like, wow, it looks a lot different.
What's a worse class? The Mack year, where it was Lawrence and Fields,
Trey Lance,
and Lance and Zach Wilson and Mack.
Oof.
Is that worse, or is this class with Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson worse, where two guys might be out of the league right away? They lost their job that early. At least you have C.J.
Stroud
in that class.
You have Stroud.
So is that automatically better?
Automatically better.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence looked good in year two.
Yeah, I guess.
It could fall off.
You think the jury's out on...
No, I mean, I love Stroud. I think Stroud's legit. I'm just telling you, I probably would have said I love Lawrence after 2 years, too. That's all.
You wouldn't have loved Lawrence after 2 years. His first year was with Urban Meyer. He actually was horrible.
But his second year, he won a playoff game head-to-head against Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
he was good.
Yeah, he was better, but then he kind of didn't get any better after that. No, I think this one's better. You have Will Levis as the next... He was second-round pick, but he was the next guy down.
Bad class.
It's real bad. Stroud's the one that you kind of prop up as like he's the only hope for this entire class.
So I think you got a receiver in the right, a quarterback rather in the right year. How do you get a receiver for that quarterback? And is the trade deadline the time to do it?
It does seem like there are receivers in every draft every year. That's one position where you can go through and you might have to skip them. It doesn't go in order.
No.
Right? Like there's the N'Keal Harrys and the Andy Isabellas, but then there's DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel.
There are first round receivers.
Every
there are second and third round
year,
receivers.
There are good receivers.
Day three receivers.
Yeah.
And the Patriots somehow just wind up with none of them every single year. Whether it's Bill, whether it's Elliot Wolf, whether it's Matt Groh, they end up with none of them every single year.
It's amazing that happens.
So how do you get that receiver for Drake May? Is the next week the time to do it? 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Bruins lose to the worst team in hockey last night. They're the worst team in their division. And yet, for some reason, they want to extend their captain. Let's get to that next. Elliot Friedman. Over the weekend on Brad Marchand, the possible extension with the Bruins, he has since denied Friedman's report. Brad Marchand, that is, has denied the report that they're working on any type of extension. He said Friedman got it flat out wrong.
He doesn't like talking contracts. That's one thing we know to be very clear.
He does not. Let's say Elliot Friedman, one of the best info guys in the business, right up there with Scoops Keith.
Yep. 1-1-A.
I didn't want to go right to if you're hearing anything on Marchand and those extensions there, Keith.
Crickets.
Okay.
Crickets right now.
I'll score one for Marchand.
Yeah.
That's a strike against Elliot Friedman based on what you're hearing.
I haven't heard a damn thing about it.
But I got to be honest, I don't get this report, and maybe it's just because it's completely wrong and he has no info on this and Marchand's right. But the Bruins are right now the worst team in their division. Okay? They're 4-5-1.
Mm-hmm.
They lose last night. They're blanked by the Flyers, who are the worst team in hockey and have given up the most goals in hockey. They're shut out by that team last night. Their power play is abysmal. Montgomery's shaking up the lines today at practice.
Like even the fourth line.
Even the fourth line. The one good line.
Grasping
the fourth line is now on every other line.
The one, is like that's all they had, and he's shaking things up. And, meanwhile, Montgomery and Marchand are Montgomery's shoving him the other weekend. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's tuned Montgomery out. So, like, who knows how long Montgomery's going to be here for. But I really don't get this. And I love Marchand.
You are a fan.
It's like my favorite. It's like my favorite. One of the few athletes I even like.
He's your guy.
What's the urgency in paying him?
I don't know.
He's got one goal this year.
I don't know. Do you think he's disgruntled? Is he letting it bother him? I honestly don't know the answer to that.
So do you think part of the reason he's not producing is because he's pushing himself?
Or
grabbing the stick?
That happens. I think other guys you would bring that up with. Wouldn't you think that?
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I'm a fan of Brad Marchand. I would have no problem in the off season at the end of the year going, hey Brad, do you want another year or two tacked on? Like do the thing you did with Bergeron or Chara or some of these other guys late in their career, I'd have zero problem with that. Why are you rushing out to pay him now?
It's not even Halloween.
On one of the worst teams in the league. It's not even Halloween, and he's doing nothing. What's the urgency there?
I don't know. This is a different type of year for a guy like Jim Montgomery. So they've played 10 games so far this year. You mentioned how bad they've been. So last night's loss to Philly, they're now 4-5-1. Do you remember what their record was last year through 10 games?
Oh, 8-2 or something like that?
9-0-1.
Yeah, okay, even better than
that. They were insane. And then the year before that, they were obviously a wagon as well. Let me see, what were they through 10 games?
Wait, so they were 9-0-1 last year to start the year after their monster year the year before?
The year before they were 9-1.
And then like after Christmas, they were barely a .500 team.
Their first 10 games, Montgomery's first year, they were 9-1.
Yep.
The year after that, they were 9-0-1.
Yep.
This year, they're 4-5-1.
Not so good.
Much worse. Much worse. No, but I'm just saying, like, he has never, and, you know, I think this all kind of factors in with the contract and, like, you know, even the changing of the lines every single night. He had, his only adversity has come in the playoffs. Now, that's the biggest time to have it, and that's where you're like, okay, your eyebrows are raised, and you're like, all right, job security's on the line. But for the most part, to the start of these seasons, they've, like, run away and hid. They've, like, they had the one record-breaking
check
season.
Check that box for Monty.
Good in the regular season.
They start the year ready to go until this year.
Until this year.
Until this year.
So it's like, if you can't even do that. Like, that's the one thing we've been kind of banking on with this team.
The one thing you did. Like, Mayo.
Is you run out and you like, lock up a playoff spot by, I don't know, middle of November.
Right.
It seems like you have one.
Mayo doesn't do it. We don't even know what Mayo does. The one thing Montgomery does is he gets him to start the year.
Yeah, you want a good regular season first few months? I gotcha.
And when you're not doing that.
Now what?
So I don't think he's going to survive the year by any means. I feel
you
like.
You're predicting a Montgomery in-season coaching change?
I mean, flailing around and trying to change the lines feels desperate. Maybe they kind of sort of responded the other day against Toronto, although they blew that lead late. And they had to win in overtime where Marchand got his first goal of the year. I don't get it. And maybe it's, again, maybe Elliot Friedman, one of the best info guys in the business, doesn't know what he's talking about and has been until.
That's possible.
It makes sense for Marchand to lie about it
or
be less than truthful about it, or maybe his agent hasn't relayed him everything. I have no idea. But to me, as much as I like Marchand, that makes no sense. I'm not trying to reward him for his play. I'm not trying to reward the team for their play. And I would be happy to talk to him in the offseason. I don't get that one. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't really understand the urgency unless it's something that he really wants, because he doesn't seem like a guy that's going to go anywhere. Like, they've had a handful of those guys. I think Pasternak, there was sort of like, all right, what's going to happen? McAvoy and obviously Swayman are different case studies than Bergeron. Even Krejci, I know with Krejci it came down to like, he's not going to play on another NHL team. It felt like he might go play somewhere else, which he did.
And then
he came back.
Yeah, he'll go play in the Czech Republic.
But like those guys, and then it eventually happened with Chara. Sort of a little bit different because he had also played for other teams prior too. But a lot of these guys that are only playing for the Bruins, you feel like they're going to play for the Bruins. And I think in the offseason, you could probably get something done with Brad Marchand. But yeah, it seems like, I wonder if Don Sweeney and Cam Neely were thinking, hey, we're going to get Swayman, Marchand, and Montgomery done in the offseason. And then the Swayman thing was such a freaking headache for
so
him.
Much
and
they
like
had
drove
to
him
sort of,
nuts.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, possible.
Not a bad theory.
He's also the most important of those three to sign, so I get why they prioritize that.
Yeah. How concerned should we be after 10 games?
I would be a bit concerned. It's been pretty bad.
I wouldn't be a bit concerned. You should
it's
look
10
at this
games,
and go,
but like, I don't know. I think they got out to crazy starts before that they weren't going to be able to make that last all year. Now, the first year, I guess they kind of did in the regular season, but then they lost in the playoffs. And honestly, as a Bruin fan over the last 10 years in the playoffs, maybe we shouldn't have been so shocked by it. Last year, they have a good start, but like to Nick's point, then they kind of fall apart a little bit. They do win a round, which saved Montgomery's job. But no, one thing they've been able to do is have good starts. They don't have a good start, so I am a little, they're not scoring goals. They're trying to figure out the combinations. I'm not writing them off. Like, I think they should still very much be a playoff team, but this is, compared to the previous two 10-game clips, like, this is a much worse start.
And you have to remember, too, they went out, they spent in the offseason. It's not just Swayman. They add Lindholm. They add Zadorov, who's been brutal.
So he's big.
He's big, but he didn't do anything else.
No.
So when you add guys like that and you spend like that and you expect a return and you expect immediate results and you're not getting it, I understand the panic, and I understand a quick, rash move with someone like Montgomery. Like, largely in recent history, you know, the Jacobs, they weren't firing Cassidy in season. They did eventually with Claude.
Yep.
But, you know, I can see that panic there where you've gone out, you spent, you thought you'd be better, you thought you'd hit the ground running because that's what Montgomery does.
How many games into the season can you pull something like that
off?
You
can do it now.
I don't think you're doing. You're not firing the coach 10 games in.
You could.
I mean, you could do anything you want. It's America.
But thank God it is. Okay, but in the NHL, that happens.
Like, yeah.
The Bruins haven't done that, but like that happens in the NHL. You fire coaches in the first month of the year, first 2 months of the year. That absolutely happens.
Yeah, but I would have to look back and see how many of those guys missed or made the playoffs two consecutive years and are coming off a playoff round.
How many were lame duck coaches that had all offseason to get their contract and the organization wouldn't commit to them?
I bet they were all lame duck coaches, but they might not have been coming off 100-point seasons.
This is the exact guy you fire.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's 10 games in. I feel like I would wait.
How many?
At least 20.
Okay, 20.
No, I mean, that's a quarter, like a quarter of the year. I feel like an eighth of the year is a little light. I'd probably go more 20. Or you just wait till the end of the year, like the WNBA, and just fire your coach then.
The whole league does that. You could do that. I understand
so
that.
So you think you will be fired? I mean, unless they turn around, you think you will be fired in season?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, does it feel like the team's responding to him?
It does not.
No.
It does not this point.
And it feels like he knows it.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think so.
Can we do a check-in? You had said before the season began
I know these numbers. I looked these
up today. Korpisalo was going to be better than Linus Ullmark.
Yeah, 17 saves last night.
He did. Yeah. So, we saw, was that his third start?
Yeah.
Third start.
Ullmark.
1-2. We're not going to hold the wins and losses against these guys.
No.
But he's 1-2.
Goals against and save percentage.
His goals against Korpisalo's is 3.40.
Pretty good.
Save percentage is 87.2.
Okay. Round that up.
Nope. Or leave it right there.
Pretty good and round it up.
Yeah.
Abysmal numbers.
Big Lean is 2-2.
Yeah, he was better last night. His numbers going into last night were not good.
All
but
right.
Go ahead.
He had one shaky one against Vegas, scoring more than anybody else.
He only had one shaky one? That's not true.
I mean, Montreal wasn't great either, but yeah. Vegas specifically stands out
to me.
Yeah,
he's allowed 4 and 5 goals in two of his starts.
And yet, a 2.76 goals against and a 90.4 save percentage.
Okay, Ullmark better, but that's not a big gap.
That's good.
Good start by Lean. I'm actually feeling good about the bet.
Get that contract going.
I'm feeling good about it. That's not a big gap between those two at all.
Just allowed one goal and an 8-1 win over the Blues.
Nice.
Smoke the Blues. 26 saves in that one?
The numbers for Ullmark last night rebounded a little bit. We'll see if they continue to do that. But Korpisalo went from 6-3-1, Keith. That's progress.
That's true.
That's progress.
Now,
six
what's
goals
next?
Allowed.
-2?
Three.
Shutout tomorrow.
Yeah, shut.
At
exactly.
Now, when he gets better, he might score one.
When he gets his next start in two weeks.
That's Ullmark's thing.
Shutout.
It's true.
Yeah. So I'm not feeling too bad about that.
All right.
Honest.
Yeah. You're in it.
Ullmark's been good in Ottawa? No.
He's been all right.
No, he hasn't.
Been all right.
He was good last night.
I don't know, Jones. He's got the 18th best goals against average in the league and the 19th best save percentage. Seems pretty good to me.
That's $8 million.
What are you doing?
$8.25 million for
what
that.
What are you doing with Montgomery? What are you doing with Brad Marchand? Is it time to extend him? Brad Marchand says there's no truth to the Elliot Friedman report. I don't know why the Bruins would be itching to do it, but I'd side with Freeman on that. I don't see why he's making stuff up. Marchand has a reason to say, yeah, there's no conversation going on. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on that. And we'll get back into Jerod Mayo. His guarantee. The Patriots would win more games than a year ago. I mean, it's a big game this weekend against Tennessee. How many more wins are we giving the Patriots? We'll get to that next.